96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure.
The heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, glory,
glory, glory.
Oh,
glory, glory.
Good morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know my voice already. It's Devon Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. I don't know what it is you do at 11 other than sit next to the radio listening to me. You don't get paid to do that. But whatever else it is that you do, I'm happy that you're doing that, that you decided to do with me. Let's have an open line this morning because I have a show planned for tomorrow and I have one planned for Friday. And, you know, I know some of you all got things on your chest that you all just like to talk about. And so we can talk about anything. Phone lines are open. Feel free. 323-622-3232-54316. 325-4259. I see the shantytown issue is again upon us. I often tell people homosexual and Haitian are the two H words in the Bahamas that kind of get us to forget about every single thing else. The Nassau Guardian is reporting this morning that the Supreme Court Justice Cheryl Grant Thompson yesterday reserved her decision on an application made by the Office of the Attorney General to appeal a ruling handed down in June extending the shantytown injunction to the entirety of Abaco. The injunction bars the demolition of all shantytown structures on Abaco until a final decision is made. Fred Smith QC, who represents shantytown residents, said the government's application for leave, where is this story? To appeal to the Court of Appeal is premature and a waste of time, as the only people being hurt are the poor. Having delivered that ruling against them, they are now asking the court to stay the operation of your extension so that they can go back in and continue to demolish while you are writing your judgment, he said. It's a very, very perverse application and one which cannot be justified under any legal principles and certainly not on the facts to the court. He added, as I said earlier, the only injustice is to the flesh and blood, real life human beings who are eking out an existence in the homes in Abaco. He said Grant Thompson's ruling was plainly justified. The previous government had demolished several illegal housing structures in shantytown communities in Abaco. Kayla Grainsmith, who appeared on behalf of the Office of the Attorney General, said that story goes over to A9. I see the phone call. I'm coming to it. That this is a matter of public interest for the court to examine, as there are very arguable grounds with the possibility of success. We again note, more specifically, that the notice of appeal raises an issue of public interest in that there was no proper or legal or factual basis for an injunction that retains the government's activities until the determination of the substantive issue, because the substantive issues will not determine the legality of post-hurricane action taken by the government, she said. So it looks like they want to get into the demolition of shanty towns. I don't know. I know right before the election, I saw a video circulating. It went viral of Fred Mitchell and now Prime Minister Davis in a bar, I guess it is. I don't have a better definition for it. Somewhere in the Fox Hill community. And it appeared to me as though Fred Mitchell had found Jesus. Like, you know, like Jesus had touched his soul. And he was now a proponent of all people born in the Bahamas. And, you know, of course, there's been an interesting ruling made by Justice Winder that was represented by now Minister of National Security Wayne Monroe, which gives leave for all persons born in the Bahamas to whom either parent is a Bahamian to be registered as a Bahamian. So there's that. And I don't know. Now we'll see what happens with the shanty towns. I personally believe that the injunction should remain in place until the judge rules, because you don't want to make it messy. Like, you don't want her to lift the injunction and then she comes back and makes a ruling, and the lifting of the injunction does more harm than to just wait and allow for there to be, you know, a holistic ruling. But let's take some phone calls. Good morning, caller. You're on. Caller, you there?
Morning. Morning, everyone. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. I'm just so glad you decided to do what's on your mind today.
Mm-hmm.
What's on my mind today? I was watching the news and I see that the government find a way to safely open the straw market. I just want to say to the straw vendors that what the government is doing, I think it's a sensible thing, you know, that we decide to have not so much or not everybody at one given time. He decided to more or less split it up and shift. You know, that's for their safety, and it's for our safety, because they have their family at homes, and whatever they contracted within the straw market, they have to carry it back home.
Mm-hmm.
At least they didn't say all vaccinated persons. You know, they decide that they're going to just allow everybody to come to work, but not at all at one time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a sensible, safe thing, you know, and it's happy to hear that. Things are going smoothly with this government so far. Everything is going just fine, you know, and I love the way they come out the gate swinging, and I wish them all the best that they will continue to do right on behalf of the Bahamian people.
Yes. Well, I saw the Prime Minister yesterday in social media, that is, not on any printed media anywhere, and he said something that I thought was interesting. He said, "I am just so delighted to see the smiles on the faces of these people who are happy to get back to work." And, you know, for whatever it is worth, like him or hate him as a politician, the one thing you will say is Mr. Davis, Philip Davis, seems to have, I don't know, he seems to have a commoner's touch. So he somehow connects with people at a people level, not necessarily, you know, a prime minister, the citizen level. And I think sometimes, well, definitely after the last 4 years that we've had, that could be pretty useful, because at one point, I believe, Bahamians began to feel as though their country was just happening around them and not with or for them. And so,
but,
you know.
Could I interrupt you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hello?
I'm here.
Okay, what I'm saying, like, who would have guessed it? Because for the most part of us Bahamian, we never see him being prime minister. We wonder, how would he make a good prime minister? You know, people used to be stoning him left, right, and center. And right now, it turned out that he's doing pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And he just may be the one prime minister who make it for two times. I mean, that's how I see it looking.
Well,
and this is coming from someone who has supported the former FNM government for partly all of my life, you know?
Yeah. Well, they definitely have taken a different tone in government, right?
I didn't feel so long as they keep on
arrogance.
Right path. Continue, they'll be doing well.
Yeah,
you know,
and so if
them
can
all the luck, you know, not just Bahamian, need to, you know, want that to be, you know, just look, just pray for them and pray to God, keep them, because they do well, we do well.
Yeah, no, I could definitely appreciate that.
Okay, then.
Thank you very much. 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. What is for sure is you do not have rank arrogance seeping out of the walls of cabinet anymore. This is a massively large cabinet. But if Mr. Davis can manage the egos of the men and women in that room, So much so that you do not see it spilling out into the public and spilling onto the camera, and you don't get those, you know, A is A, B is B, C is C, 1, 2, 3. Once you don't get that kind of, I mean, rank, abhorrent, just outright egregious arrogance, then I think they're going to be okay. Like, they literally don't need to do anything. They just need to not do what was done. That's it. And they would be better than the last guys, right? And so I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that they have taken a note or a page out of the book. You see, Fred Mitchell has already gone viral in his voice note telling members of parliament, listen, y'all new, don't be one-hit wonders. If the people call y'all, answer the phone. I know when y'all get in government, we give y'all a new phone. Don't throw y'all old phone away. As a matter of fact, you could keep your new government number, but keep your old WhatsApp. This is me now. This isn't him. Keep your old WhatsApp. That way, at the very least, take a WhatsApp, y'all. All right? And then you could do like some of my friends do and turn off your read receipt. So, you know, that gives you a little bit of a window to reply, because they know when you see the message. And if you read receipt off, then if you answer them in a week or 2 weeks later, they know that you saw them 2 weeks ago and you really just wasn't messing with them. But now that you are messing with them, you get to respond to them and there's no pressure on you, all right? Another thing I want to talk about, though, while I am talking about the Progressive Liberal Party, something has come to my attention. I understand, and I don't know if there's truth to it, but I wish that the people that do know, you know, DeWitt, maybe you could call me and let me know. The wind tell me, right? The wind tell me y'all had one bunch of people walking up and down with y'all when y'all was aspiring candidates, when y'all was ratifying candidates, and of course, consequently, when y'all was winning the general election and confirming members of parliament. So the wind tell me, y'all got people cussing y'all out, boy. They say, man, y'all promise these people all kind of things, all kind of. If you walk, we can pay you. If you walk, we can make sure you get straight once we win. If you walk with us up and down, we can make sure we take care of you. And now the people them say they can't find y'all. I don't know. So I don't know who was in charge. I don't know, maybe the National Campaign Coordinating Committee could call me and let me know whether or not what the wind telling me is true, but I just hear it in the wind. That particularly in the inner city areas, let me tell you where it's happening. The constituency of Marathon, I understand it's happening. The constituency of Eggleston, I understand it's happening. These people ready to march the Bay Street with fire on a stick, I'm telling you. And it's because now you all got your all job and you all can get paid 3 and 4 and 5 times. And all kind of appointment and thing and all kind of emoluments. One thing I like about the government don't always call it salary. You all get all kind of emoluments. And the people, let me say, they walk up and down behind you all for 2 years. Dog chase them, rain, wet them. They had to eat people bad tasting corned beef in the name of building good public face. They had to sit down in the people house where the baby had the pampers on. And they, you know, they wasn't comfortable, but they was with their member of parliament to be. And they believed in you, and they walk up and down behind you, and now they can't get you. You used to answer their phone call on one ring. Now the phone saying it is out of service. They don't know what's happening. So if you are, by chance, now sitting in the House of Assembly, right, I can tell you as someone that has walked the campaign trail, that isn't the easiest job in the world. It is one whole bunch of up in and down in, as I like to put it. But, man, if you promise the people you was going to pay them for that, because that's work, right? Like, campaigning could take about 6 hours each day. And sometimes it's 6 days a week. And sometimes, not sometimes, all of the time, it is in inclement conditions. Because even if it ain't raining, that sun out there is 98 degrees most days in the shade. You couldn't have thought buying me 6 bay after this walk was sufficient. And you go off to collect a $90,000 a year check with a car and free gas and a cell phone that you don't pay no bill on. You couldn't have thought that all I wanted was the chicken off the grill that you had by the constituency headquarters and the two free 5 gallon of punch that was left over from the party that you let me carry. You had to know that I need to be paid. And yeah, I did not ask for money up front because, you know, I understood you was poor, I was poor. But now you got a salary, Runks, and I want to know what you could do with that because I break, and now you got a job, and I need something. So PLB, the people, let me say, don't make them mad. Don't be like those other fellas. They don't walk up and down behind y'all and all that stuff and sweat off their deodorant and sweat off their makeup, and one or two of the gals, them sweat off their weave. And now they will know if y'all coming back to give them a couple dollars, like y'all promised, when y'all was aspirin candidates. All right? 323-622-3235-4316-325-4259. I cannot confirm or deny that story. I just tell you what I hear in the wind. All right? So if you know you are culpable, member of parliament this, cabinet minister that, chairman of this, what these other things is, because every week someone getting something new. General manager, no matter where you are, if you walked as an aspirant, if you know you promised people money to walk with you, because he ain't all these people, only Jesus want get fellas to walk up and down behind him for free. Only Jesus and Paul, I think. So you had to know these people wasn't walking up and down behind you for strength. All right? They hoped that you could change their position. Yeah? All right, let's take another phone call. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Well, good morning, Yvonne. Good morning.
Hey, what's going on, Graham?
You know, it looks like it's going to be a noodles type of Christmas.
Mm.
I'm going to tell you why. In his infinite wisdom, I suspect our last leader decided to call an early election. You're now still on the budget that he set last summer, correct?
Mm-hmm.
That budget expires next summer, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So usually you have an election in May, and by June you got a new budget. But now you got 7 months in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you still see a lot of stuff happening, and you're wondering why other things ain't happening.
Mm-hmm.
Can't happen until you get a budget, and that's next June, July.
Well, I'll tell you what else scares me, Graham. This this lull in the appointment of boards, right? Because the way government works is boards get the money, and then the money that the boards get is allocated into government, the government agency or authority, and it is spent, and, you know, that's kind of how things get done, right? So if you have this lull, because the election was September 17th, so I imagine that by October 17th, everybody should have tendered their resignation, because it's just a decent thing to do.
But we're still on the old budget.
Hear me?
So they're paid for the remainder of the year.
No. Of course the boards are all paid. I'm saying to you, not right. All. They're not all paid. But
well, whoever's paid.
What I'm saying to you is, if you don't, okay, it's the December is upon us, yes? Mm-hmm. Typically, boards break around the middle of December, right? For Christmas. So around the 18th, thereabout, the board takes a break. The board doesn't get back until the end of January. So you telling me now, September, October, November, December, January, 5 months, we are going to have either just gap filling or autopiloting from these government agencies and authorities, because we intend to appoint the boards, what, the beginning of December? What are they going to do for 1 week? They're going to come in 1 week, have coffee, and go back home? You understand my point? Like, I thought that by now, particularly because election was had when it was had, I thought that the first thing y'all would get out the gate with is boards, so y'all could begin to plan government strategy and corporation direction. I don't see any of that.
You're starting to build my case. If there's not any money, how are you going to put me on a board and campaign?
Board allocation should have already been in the budget, Graham. That's what I'm telling you. So the,
it is.
So the
it
only thing you do is change
the
posterior
summer.
In the chair. When Levin Miller get up, right, he no longer collects a stipend. Graham now collects a stipend. Graham is a solar guy. I don't care nothing about solar. So now that I'm no longer sitting in the chair, we know that the direction of the authority, the direction of the agency or the board, ought to be going in the direction of solar, because a new backside sits in the chair. But the money is continuous.
The money may not be there to give. It may have dried up.
I know
we owe $2 billion, right?
Yeah. But governments can find money to do whatever they want. Governments don't age.
So you could
age.
Always borrow at a higher interest rate, yeah.
Yeah, so governments...
And then that does some other stuff to your economy we don't want to talk about.
I don't disagree with you, Graham. All I'm saying is the function of government has to stop. I will give them this credit, right? So at least they didn't spend 6 months partying. Because, you know, sometimes government get crazy, like they want the government, and then you can't tell for 6 months that the election's over because they still acting. Every week they having church service and thank you this thing and thank you that thing and flying up and down like this a concert. At least they're not doing that. They actually look at a gear in the wick. Mr. Davis has already been to Scotland. He's already been to, I think, New York. He's been a couple of places. You understand what I'm saying? So he's to work. His Minister of Health appears to be to work. His Minister of Public Service appears to be to work. We sure his Minister of Foreign Affairs to work, because every time I see Fred Mitchell, he's sitting in the front of a plane window. So he doing what a foreign affairs minister should do. All I'm saying is, in while they are doing that at an executive level, right? They have to ensure that these corporations can run. And the only way to do that is to put the people in place. And that hasn't happened yet. What is this now? 14 weeks after an election? Is he still up? Nope. All right, let's take another one. Good morning, Carly. You're on.
Hey. Mr. Miller, how you doing?
Hey, Pumpkin.
Yeah. One thing the minister has been saying, you're going to first introduce the urban renewal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Monday is very important to listen to it, because the urban renewal is like the starting point to handle more than the majority of the hills. Start to know the hills. Which is a good start.
Mm-hmm.
Then, the third summer, you should have an announcement by Monday on the Grand Bahama turnaround.
You mean Port Lucaya?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The hotel, and only the Grand Bahama, not only the hotel, the Carnival cruise supposed to start when you go there, but they want, I think, Carnival cruise want a more bigger deal.
Mm-hmm.
And they probably want, might be wanting the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
Then you have other problem is the weekend. They haven't mentioned this one, but they're waking with an outsider to deal with the airport in Grand Bahama.
Well, we work That's with an outsider to deal with the airport in Nassau. You forget Vancouver, them did the airport in Nassau. What would the difference be?
Right, you got good history. So they look at that as some of the deal with that
mm-hmm.
for Grand Bahama.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you this, and I plan to talk tomorrow about the RCI thing. But one of the things I don't understand is I don't understand Mr. Cooper's language, right? So at first he says the deal is egregiously bad. I've said that before. I maintain that it is an egregiously bad deal. But he's in the news yesterday saying, well, you know, when you've been married to a company as long as the government of the Bahamas and RCL has been married, every day won't be Sunday. No, but at some point in these marriage, there's something called a writ of divorce. And if this woman decide she ain't cooking or sleeping with me or having my children and ain't awake, then you know something? Maybe, baby, you need to be somebody else's wife.
Don't you point out, Mr. Miller, I don't think you see it.
Mm-hmm.
The cabinet press secretary
mm-hmm.
supposed to be listening to him and directing them when they need to be directed as far as they can.
Well, you know, I to Clint's credit, I think he tried that whole nobody talk unless they run their statements through the press secretary. Let me just tell you, it's 23 of them. So, literally, I don't think Clint one could get it done. So, I mean, unless they assign a press attaché.
No, 23,
it's 23. It's, man, every single person that comes out of that cabinet speaks for the cabinet.
Yeah, but you got to listen to the secretary to come to the public over the hill with some crucial answers, with some crucial results.
Yeah. I don't know. All I'm saying is, I don't want us to look, and again, I want to talk about this tomorrow, so I don't want to talk about it too much now.
Okay.
I don't want us to look through the lens of this whole Lucaya thing only through the lens of tourism. Like I think there's such a big opportunity in Grand Bahama for so many reasons that if all we continue to do is try to figure out how we can put white people on the beach in the hotel, I think we're missing a great opportunity, especially if we're talking about attaching it to a cruise line that we know predominantly tries to carry 70 cents out of every dollar that they bring here back when they leave.
You know what I really want to hear from?
There could be black people on the beach, too. Let me not just
and
say
and
white people.
Mm-hmm. It's the Minister of Agriculture.
What about him?
I like to hear his plan because he's from the fishery industry.
Mm-hmm.
And Spanish Bell.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to hear his plan on how you're going to feed me. Keep the tourists on feed. And keep everybody fed.
Mm-hmm.
How you going to fed me?
All right. Let's see.
You know, I have to point next, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Mr.
Appreciate it, Bungan. 323-623-2325-4316. 325-4259. Let me get a couple of these text messages in. This one here says, let's see. No, I'm going ahead of myself. This says, that's because he from Cat Island, even. Who is that? Briff? Is that what makes him a people's person, that he from Cat Island? Oh, my. This one just says, good morning, Levin. Could you please ask parks and beaches to kindly pay the people for cleaning? Haven't gotten paid in 2 months. Well, you probably can't get paid because I ain't sure if they got no board. I ain't sure if beaches and park, if they're, I know their chairman has been named, but I mean, it might only be him one the week. And, you know, the last chairman of beaches and parks didn't care nothing about the lifeguard thing, right? Remember we used to have the lifeguards when Greg Burrows was the chairman of beaches and parks? Good morning, Greg Burrows. I've been trying to call you. But when Shannon Norn come and Shannon Norn say, man, y'all get off this beach. What's wrong with y'all talking foolishness? But y'all is lifeguard. Boy, you could swim. You don't even look like you could swim to me. And so they take the chair, them, what we spend plenty of money to build, and put them under the coconut tree. They still under the coconut tree by Arawaki, right? And we get rid of the beach warden fellas. Albeit, I thought that was a plan we should have built out. Shannon Norn didn't think so. I think there was some training that was supposed to have happened in his defense, he claimed. But now, 2 months, 3 months almost in, and the government hasn't appointed officially their beaches and parks chairman. And if they have, I don't know if he's been flanked with a board that could begin things like getting salaries out and, or pay for contracts out or that kind of stuff. So this is why they got to put boards in place, right? That's what has to happen. This one here says, good luck. Just eat noodles for Christmas. Nope, I don't eat noodles at all, actually. Morning, Levin. The vendors on Fort Charlotte and Fort Fincastle have not been given the all clear to go back to work as yet. They are not in an enclosed space, so what is the problem? They should have been the first to be open. Their working environment is completely different from the enclosed downtown market. I completely agree with that. And can I also say, y'all talking about pushing down the Haitian shanty towns, right? But I don't know, and they can kill me for this, I don't know how we letting food vendors and straw vendors turn these public places into shanty towns. I think what's happening at Arawaki is ridiculous. I don't know why are there shacks built all over the sidewalk. Arawaki is already poorly designed. And now, right, you take these other wooden clapboard things and block the beach view, right? Like, I would prefer to see the beach. I don't know what this little hodgepodge nonsense is y'all have with these things sprinkled all over the beach. With no real building style or code, you just nail four pieces of wood together and put a roof on top of it and sell fries, and boom, you're a businessman. I want us to move away from that because I don't really know if that is the product we're trying to create. I don't know if this whole, you could just sprinkle straw vendors on Prince George Wharf. Could we at least have some kind of system, some sort of code? Is that too much to ask? Could we like bulldoze them little wooden things over by Arawaki and like make them do it properly? Maybe put them closer to the roadside so that when I come for lunch, I could actually look at the water. So that I could go look at the water without coming to one of them little wooden tanks? I don't know. I pray that a wind blows through and then the government don't have to make the decision. This one here says, great show as usual. If I run in an election, I tell them people from now, I ain't eating no corn. No. I ain't eating no one corn beef and drinking no one Kool-Aid out no glass. I know y'all ain't washed properly. I don't know how politicians do it. Well, you know, being able to eat corned beef and white rice is apparently, it is apparently how you know you've reached the pinnacle politicianhood, right? Like, so you have to say, mother, what did she cook in there? Corned beef, man, give me some of that. And then she bring you the corned beef and white rice. Don't mind if it tastes burnt up. You just eat it. You guaranteed the 6 votes out of that house. That's kind of how it works. She bring you a little bit of switcher. You don't worry. You hold your breath and swallow. And boom, get back on the campaign trail. That's how you get it done. So you sound like you can't ever be a politician, text, right? Let's go to a break, Kermit. 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. The line's open. Come on, Papa. I want to say a shout out to my friend Papa, who I know is always listening. Papa, I hope you're having a good day, buddy. 422-4796. I'm leaving Miller. I'll be back after the break. Thank you.
At Fidelity, the holidays are all about family, spending time with loved ones, and being thankful for the little things in life. Worrying about bills should be the last thing on your mind, especially during the holidays. Let Fidelity help you get your bills under control. Fidelity can also get you started with a real savings plan that actually pays you interest. The only thing you need to think about is what you will do with the savings in your pocket this Christmas. Now that's what I'm talking about. Fidelity Bank is here for you this holiday season because you are family, and family is important to us.
COVID-19 doesn't take holidays off, and neither should you. We can celebrate the holiday season while continuing to follow all public health protocols and regulations. We must also remember to wash our hands and sanitize frequently. Wear our masks, cough and sneeze into our elbows, disinfect items brought into our homes, stay at least 3 feet away from others in public, and remain at home when we're feeling unwell. Let's have a happy and healthy holiday.
This message brought to you by Bahamas Ministry of Health in conjunction with Guardian Radio.
Good morning, welcome back. Thank you for staying with me, Levin Miller here, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. That means I'm Unleashed on your radio, and that means it's somewhere between 11 and 12 o'clock. My phone lines are open. We can talk about whatever you want to talk about. You know, I'm not interested in quantum physics or cosmoses or alien landings or Jeff Bezos and what the other fellow name in global domination. Because nobody need to plan to kill Negroes, all right? Let me make that abundantly clear. All y'all black people who somehow afraid that the COVID vaccine is somehow a ploy to get rid of black people, they don't need to trick us, okay? Black people practicing genocide on themselves, right? So all they did was make y'all poor enough to decide y'all never wanted to have children, right? So there's quite a bit fewer of us than there was. In 1982, I think the study was done, and black people were having, Bahamians were having between 5 and 7 children. Today, on average, we have between 0 and 2 children. This is literally only 30 years later. So 30 years later, y'all have reduced y'all own ability to be considered a group of people by about 50%. And then pookie them, just kill 100 a year. So at this rate, soon directly, you know, I don't think, what the fella name? Why can't I remember his name? The internet man. He ain't gonna have to kill us. We pretty much taking good care of ourselves. Anyway, 323-623-2352-54-316-325-4259. They tell you, listen, oh, child don't have these children. Child, listen to me, you're young. While you're young, go get your education. All us can't go to college. Everybody can be a philosopher. Everybody can't have a PhD. It's impossible. And besides, PhDs ain't fixing much things around here. If you don't believe me, look at the world. So if all us go, and you could go check this, America is now trying to get Americans to stop going to college because they are running out of trade workers. We got the whole shipyard in Grand Bahama, predominantly run by Filipinos. We got the whole radiology section and all these other technical things around here in the Bahamas, predominantly run by people that are not Bahamian. If you go down by any one of these construction companies, I promise you the welder is a Jamaican. But all we keep doing is sending our son to school to go be a lawyer, to come back here and stand up in court and can't get a job. And then we try to wonder what's wrong with the place, right? So they tell you, if you have the children, if you have these children, boy, these children make you struggle. The truth of the matter is, most of y'all, when y'all was growing up, didn't even know y'all was poor. I didn't know I was poor. I found out I was poor when I was 21. Or realized poverty. Like, it hit me. I said, what the heck? I was poor. Right? Worse that I wasn't going to SAC, because the former prime minister said he was going to SAC, and he realized he was poor. I don't know how you put SAC and poor together, but whatever. All I'm saying, neither did my daddy have a gas station, but whatever again. But, you know, so all the crazy, the people trying to make us extinct arguments, I don't buy those. Let's take this phone call. Good morning, Carly. You're on. I can't hear you. Is it caller? Good morning, Carly. You're on.
Good morning.
Hey, Robert, turn your radio down, please.
Oh, it is down. Now, let's talk about that particular Belize raid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right by the water the other day. 21 or some people trying to go somewhere on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Why wasn't the Belize half of it over there? Where are drone? How could two boats escape? See, that's what we need a helicopter to. An eye in the sky to chase down those boats.
Mm-hmm. But didn't they catch the people, Robert?
A raid online, knowing the nigga, these people got them style boats go fast to run. So two boats escaped.
Mm-hmm. Didn't they catch the people?
I don't care. I ain't nothing else for it. But they're the captain. They're the main people that you need.
Mm-hmm.
They are the captains of these boats. See, we need a helicopter. What did he say? We need a helicopter. It's hovering out at nighttime.
Help me. How would the helicopter have aided in the capture of the boat?
Chase the boat down. See, but the car chase in the States. Can you stop the car chase? And the man in the sky, where you go?
Wouldn't you still need an interceptor because the helicopter don't have, like, endless flight range?
Shoot the engine out.
I could tell you've watched a lot of Rambo, Robert.
They could chase you.
Mm-hmm.
They are in the bush. They can see you at nighttime. They can see
your
body heat.
Okay.
Trust me.
But a drone could do all of this stuff, Robert. Why can't I just use the drone? Didn't we just spend $7, $8 million on drones? He's gone? All right, Robert. Appreciate you. Let's take another phone call. 3236. Oh, it's not there. Text right here says, some of these people in Nassau should not have kids because they don't have no money to take care of themselves, much less another child. In other words, they don't have a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out of, I guess. This one here says, good news is it's almost 12 and Pookie them ain't killed no one yet. They killed 1.5 last night because they killed the boy Jukwako Street and I think his friend in the hospital. Pookie them, they do 100 a year, you know? And we looked for a while, like we had what the answers were to keep them under 100 a year. The Minister of National Security now say, bad y'all, let's stop talking about number. I don't tell me nothing but how much people get killed. Let's see if we can be better parents. That's the Minister of National Security's position. This one here says, I agree, Levin. I've been saying this for years. We are making the whole of Nassau a shanty town. Remember the phone card era when BTC used to measure the size of those structures by the hip width of the vendor? Then we moved to Junkanoo Beach and what used to be a beach view now looks like a row of portable toilets onto Long Wharf. That strip of clapboard is slowly spreading towards Bay Street. Don't talk about Carmichael Road. Wake up, town planning. Yeah, no, I completely agree. I pray all the time, Lord, if you be God, not by fire this time or by water, please answer by wind. And just blow them across the road over by the fort. And hopefully we like blow them so in a fashion that you can't nail them back together. Because I don't know who let these people put these things. Yeah, it doesn't make sense to block the beach. I don't come to the beach. Well, I don't care to go to the beach. But if I did care to go to the beach, I ain't come here to see the wooden clapboard shack them. I want put them over by the road. All that walking path over there by where the sidewalks are, put them over there. All a bunch of grass you all got with nobody to walk on that the police wouldn't let you park on, put them over there. You already let these fellas build these hotel on Arawaki, right? Which I thought was another interesting thing. But luckily, that's not a bad thing because that could hide the containers, right? But now, I mean, like, shouldn't we make it like a nice little walking village? People could walk through and little Junkanoo rush out here and there and you have nice, adequate parking and you could actually go to lunch, right? And you make the places small so none of these places could have no 100 people in it. And that way the business could spread out. And when you go, you and so our fans could go sit down to the little tropical boot and look at the water. And that way you all keep people's blood pressure down and people don't have domestic violence and things like that. All right? 3236232325431633. I don't know who lets these people do this stuff. You go by Arawaki, they say the sidewalk for walking. That's why you can't park on it, right? You can't park on the sidewalk because the sidewalk is for walking. That is when the police give you the ticket at Arawaki because you was on the sidewalk, he's going to say, you shouldn't have been parked on this sidewalk because the sidewalk is for walking. I'm telling you what he's going to say. Well, how in the name of Jesse James, y'all let them build a building on the sidewalk? That don't look just equally as stupid. I tell you, the people are, and could we unlock the gate now? Mr. Davis, I tell you, I try my best to be a PLB. Mr. Davis, Mikhail Barnaby, who in charge of works? Mr. Alfred says, and just in case, we're in Monroe, because apparently this is a joint agency venture. The little gate by Arawaki, the one that lets me off of West Bay Street onto the Western Esplanade, that have a sign on it that said, the police closed this. We can't ask the police to open this. Why is it still closed? It's a new day. And I'm looking for reasons to be a PLV. I trying every day of my life to look for new reasons as to why I will be a PLV, okay? So if you all want to recruit me, here's my list of demands. Please open this gate radio off West Bay Street and send me one application at the same time so I can become a PLB in one bread area. Because I don't know why this lock. It don't make no sense. Only thing it does is obstruct traffic. And they tell me, this is what they told me, the wind said this. They lock it because they don't want bus drivers coming through here. Let me tell you what bus drivers fear. Tickets. If you ticket any 10 bus drivers that come through here, I promise you, they are going to tell the other bus drivers, oh no, I picked up a $250 ticket and I could guarantee you they will not be back. You can't inconvenience the whole world because you lack the ability to police. All right? Anyway, let me get a couple more of these text messages out. This one here says, we are doing the works of the, what is this? Eugenesis, yes. For real, and you don't need to want to be a philosopher, I guess is what that's supposed to say. Come on, Eleven. What brand name phone does the caller by the name of Robert use? His calls are usually always muffled, and we can't hear his contributions clearly. I don't know. Maybe it's not the phone. Question, what is your take on the McDonald's Breakfast Club boycott on McDonald's University Drive? I went over there and I signed the boycott, by the way. Why? You know, it's simple for me. There was a time when people that look like the man that tell them that they can't eat there did that to people that looked like the people that were told that for a very, 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 very long time. We marched in the street, was sprayed by fire hoses, picketed, placard, and all kinds of things, saying that we wanted to be able to not have people that look like that tell us things like that ever, ever, ever again in our life. I don't believe in revisiting things that I fought for in the past. And so since we fought for that already, because they can't give me any justifiable reason why those men can't be there having coffee. All right, I've already given you my position that when you go to Starbucks and drink your coffee, apparently that makes you a part of the intelligentsia. But when you go to McDonald's and do it, apparently you're loitering. And I can't figure it out. And it reeks of either racism to me or classism to me. And I don't like either one of them. So, yes, I've signed the petition. I'm not going to go there and protest because, you know, y'all ain't getting no more marching out of me ever for nothing. I don't care. I even ain't going to the Prophecy March. I stopped going to Baptist Day March and all because I'm not marching around here for anything ever again. I fat and old now. I don't have time to play. All right? So I signed the petition. I stand in solidarity with Rodney Mungadem. I believe that they believe in the cause. And if that is the case, then, hey, they have my signature. All right? This one here says, I think it was egregious of the Minister of National Security, Wayne Munro, to tell the police to stand down when they were called to an illegal demonstration with Rodney Munker yesterday. Well, first of all, I don't know if it was an illegal demonstration. The men have the right to congregate. You can't tell them that they can't congregate on public property. And you also can't tell them that they can't have signs. They didn't say they were having a protest. Didn't look like protest to me. They were all just sitting under a tree. I don't see any illegality there. Chester Cooper is a big hypocrite when it comes to the Lugaya, the Royal Caribbean deal. I don't know if I want to call him a hypocrite. I just want to say I think his message isn't clear. if you followed him, I don't know how you go from egregiously bad to, oh, we're in a long-term marriage and so we got to make it work. No, egregiously bad is egregiously bad. Like, if my wife slept with every neighbor through my corner, right, in my bed, that would be so egregiously bad that I don't know if I would say, oh, well, you know, she's been my wife for 10 years. I just want to stay married to her for the sake of the children. Miss, you and these children, yeah? I'll tell you what. You go and care the devil with you. You leave the children them here. All right? So, you see what I'm saying? I don't know if the messaging is, I don't know if I like the messaging. Because you can't tell me, oh, this thing is absolutely, disgustingly, terribly bad. But, you know, we've been together so long. I, for peace sake. I hate that kind of situation. This one here says, I think it was egregious. Okay, I read that already. This one here says, great show as usual. We have domestic violence because the woman in Nassau is telling the man the child is, what? Is theirs. Then 5 years later or 300 school fee payments later, the child looking more and more like someone who, what? Where do you people get this stuff from? Ah, my goodness. Let me read it. Great show as usual. We have domestic violence because the woman in Nassau has tell the man the child is theirs. Then 5 years later, or 300 school fee payments later, the child looking more and more like someone else or like the next door neighbor. But so what if the child just look like the mummy? And even if the child look like the neighbor, that ain't give you no right to beat her. All you do is go to the court and say, Your Honor, look at this boy. My ma ain't got no big spread nose. My pa ain't got no big spread nose. I ain't got no big spread nose. The woman tell me her great-great-great-great-granddaddy had a big spread nose. I don't know her great-great-granddaddy. Her ma don't know who her great-great-granddaddy is. I don't know what she's talking about. I could please like to have my money back out of this woman for these children. And that's just it. But, you know, to the credit of Bahamian men, because y'all like to talk us down, right? So let me help y'all out. Me personally know of at least 10 Bahamian men that was raising children that wasn't theirs and that they didn't care. Now, I'm not saying that it was born out of some sort of lusty, sultry relationship. No, but it has long been a thing for Bahamian men to meet women with children, and because they decide they want the woman, they decide they want the children. And they take care of the children, and the children call them daddy and live in their house, and they send the children to college. And dance to the wedding too, voice dance. I know of situations where the child become a woman, she let the man who impregnated the mummy walk her halfway down the aisle, and daddy, which is the only daddy she know, walk her the rest of the way. This has long been a practice in the Bahamas. So don't make it sound like Bahamian men are out here not taking care of children, even the ones that they sure to see in theirs. Them and the mommy been together 9 months, and the baby 5 months old. He know to see in theirs, but you don't know. And when he have another child with her, that the one that actually is his, sometimes they don't know. Some of these people around here who call their daddy daddy find out their daddy wasn't their daddy when they was 15. They don't know. So I can't agree with you 100% extra. But all us ain't like that. The Pookie them, maybe they starting with this new thing. Maybe, I don't know. But it has been a very common practice all throughout my life that, you know, Bahamian man is take care of the children. We want the woman, bring the children when you come. Full stop. This one here says, could we also boycott the price of Kong salad? Oh, yes, I completely agree with that. I don't know what making Kong so expensive. You could get conk out of 8 foot of water. Why it costs $6 a shell? This one here says, need the number for sore fans for beach party. What? Which sore fans? Not mine, Zay. You must be crazy. This is how I know you're crazy now. Leaving the woman try, say the baby is mine. And what? What? You know, when I'm done with this show, this is... leaving the woman try, say the baby is mine. And tell the real father it wasn't his, just to spite both of us. I wasted $300 on the DNA test. Think I could get my money back? Yes, put her in court. You sue her. and see what happens. I also want to point this out before I leave. I don't want to end the show unless I do this. I see there's a flyer going on around by the Red Cross, right? I'm not really sure what exactly does this mean, because I don't know. Maybe I'm reading the flyer wrong. I'm not exactly sure. But the Red Cross has put out an advertisement, and it says here, in Quito Express for Kobo Toolbox, humanitarian response.info. We need you. Serve the LGBTQ plus community and support our work through volunteerism. What are we talking about here? Like, is it like, I don't get it. I don't understand the need for super hyper homosexual privilege in to becoming such a heavily saturated thing. Like, I'm not sure if they want these people to volunteer or if they're trying to assist these people. Either way, like, why do we need to make a whole advertisement, about a specific group of people? Like, why? I don't get it. And you know, the minute you start saying things like you're confused about this kind of stuff, they want to accuse you of being a penis-wielding heterosexual man. And I am not. And I can promise you this. Y'all don't know another man on this planet more heterosexual than me. All right? If I wasn't a man, I would be a big, black, bucking billy goat. That is what I would be if I wasn't a man. I could tell you. I could feel it. But I mean, what next? Parking spaces? What exactly are we going for? Give people whatever rights are afforded them. For whatever reason, I'm going to have to call the Red Cross. I don't know what, I saw this flyer this morning and I'm not really sure what this is about. It says, we need you. Our ability to help and serve the needs of our country extends across all groups of people, including the LGBTQ plus community. If you identify with this, please join the group. Sign up today to be a volunteer. What is happening here? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just leaving. I'm not really sure. Why can't I be a flaming heterosexual man and still help my community? Why can't I be big bucking Bill and still want to volunteer to my community and help people who are LGBTQIA? I mean, after all, you know, I want to apply to the LGBT community to become an orgiosexual. So who knows? I mean, but hey, maybe there's something I missed. I don't know. I wish the Red Cross could clear this up for me because I don't understand this flyer and it's making me nervous. Let me read another text message before I get it here. This one here says, they operate on donations, so probably some donor gave funds specifically for some LGBTQ. Why? What, if you are donating your money to the Red Cross, right? Like, let's just say the Red Cross helps everybody everywhere in the world. Why would I need to say, oh, could you please spend this money on men that love men? Why? Why do I need to say that? Are they soon going to get special seating on a plane? I don't understand. Should we rescue them first in a life-saving exercise? What special privilege should you have based on where you like to put your genitalia? I don't understand that. Just how I shouldn't discriminate you because you love man as a man, I don't really want you having extra privileges or benefits because you love man as a man. Because I am a woman loving man and I want everything that all man could have. It's just me. I don't know. Anyway, that's my time. You hear the music. I'm Levin Miller. It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. They're a station for fresh news and smart talk. Don't move. They've got the news that happens.
Hands to the heavens. No man, no weapon. Formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings.